This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So before we got started with our guests, Morgan Knudsen and J. Randall Murphy, we were talking about what old people talk about, like me, aches and pains. So you all probably had this, or a lot of you. I'm currently working out of one eye. The other eye has some kind of weird infection. It's not the creeping rot, okay? I understand some people think it might be. It is not the creeping rot. It is just, you know, an eye infection. I'll be out of the sea in a few days. It's fun to drive around. I know that people who have can only have one eye or one eye that works know how to do this. But, of course, I don't. So I'm learning because I'm right eye dominant, and it's the right eye. And I'm kind of sitting here with eye drops and all that other stuff. And there you go. Anyway, last week we had a really fascinating episode because we were talking about an organization I think is an unsung hero in the making in the field, the Scientific Coalition for Ufology. And we've got a whole bunch of affiliates, members. And I look at this and I said, my heavens, we got a lot of these people on the show. You know, like Chris Rutkowski, Alejandro Rojas, Mark Roediger, Kevin Randall many, many, many times. Paul Kingsbury, I'm just going through the list. Richard Hoffman last week. Mark D'Antonio, okay. James Clarkson was on. I mean, we've had a lot of people.
Yeah, it's like they've almost taken some of the best of the ufology community and put it together into an organization that is really making an effort to put some critical thinking and academic perspectives into the field. It's some pretty good stuff.
That's what I really enjoy about the, especially with Hoffman on the last episode, was the fact that he's looking at it very factually. He didn't have a lot of, extreme guesses or ideas in that way. He approached it from a very logical and critical thinking standpoint, which I really appreciated that.
Yeah, absolutely. Watching a couple of, or listening to actually on the YouTube, a couple of your presentations, and there was some video there as well. You tend to really resonate with that sort of an approach yourself.
Yeah, very much so. And it allows people to start parsing this information out without any bias and just folklore-based beliefs. And to me, that's really important because I think if we want to get to the bottom of a lot of the things that are going on, especially nowadays, because there's so much out there, there's so much information out there, you've got to really be able to break this stuff down into a very palatable formula for people that doesn't have a lot of that sort of folklore thrown into it. And things like folklore have their place, but when we're talking about phenomenon like this and we're talking about the true study of parapsychology, you know, there comes a point where, you know, you've really got to start to look at the facts, and that's what we try to do.
Let's get started at the beginning, which is always a good place. Morgan, what led you to pursue this kind of study?
For me, it was really interesting, actually, because when I was really young, I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. I saw a documentary on TV with two investigators who I still just adore, Lloyd Auerbach and Kara Gaynor. They were presenting this information in such a factual and intelligent manner, and it really caught my attention even at that age. We were having some interesting experiences going on in our house at the time that I didn't understand. I mean, I was too young. But it wasn't until much, much, much later when I formed Entity Seeker Research and Teachings with Stephanie Wirtz that I found out in my history, my great-great-grandfather founded the first paranormal association in Canada. But I didn't know that until about 6 years into doing this. So that was kind of interesting.
Was that meant as a family secret, or did they talk to you about this interest?
No, it wasn't a family secret, I don't think. But it was funny was the fact that they nobody really spoke about it either. When we found out, my mom had found out, and when she asked for the information was there, but it wasn't offered, if that makes any sense. You know, it wasn't offered. And, you know, and they all knew, you know, what I was doing for a living and things like that. So it was interesting. So it wasn't necessarily a secret, but it wasn't something that was on the table either. So I don't know. Yeah, you can kind of draw your own conclusions, I guess, about that.
What kind of studies did you have in school?
It was interesting. When I started into the parapsychology stuff, when I was in, still in junior high and high school, and there wasn't a whole lot available. You know, at that time, it was you were looking at books and reading as much as you could. So you started with that kind of thing. And then, you know, once I got into my great-great-grandfather's work, there's a lot of study in that. And now there's courses all over the place. And my favorite course actually that I've taken, which is it's kind of funny, is one called Paramook. And every year sort of all the parapsychologists will come in and join in on this class, because all of these incredible university professors come in and teach you. We all sort of sit down. It doesn't matter at what level you're at or where you're from. There's people from all over the place, and we come and sit and, we listen to people like Dr. Ed May and, Dr. Morris Friedman and all these different amazing minds. And, yeah, it's really cool to see what's been offered.
Where does that happen?
That actually happens online. It's a global course, and which was great because there's people from all over the world. Like, we've had people from, you know, India come. We've had people from New Zealand and all of these different places. So it's all online. It's a digital class, what they call a MOOC. So it's it translates into massive online classroom. And we all get together every year. There's actually Saturday is the first opening session of this year. So we're all looking forward to it.
Well, of course, that would have happened yesterday.
Yes.
It was a great session.
Totally great session. You know, it's all that time travel stuff, I tell you.
What's the time zones? It's the portals. It's the slipstream effect.
The slipstream, there we go. That's what it is.
It's actually the speed force.
Perfect. See, that's what we were missing.
We should explore the speed force, not just in the comic books. In reality, I don't know why I'm doing this. Seriously speaking, though, have you had any unusual experiences that led you into a direction to really continue these studies more intensively?
Yeah, I think probably one of my first encounters when I was that age, when I was 9, I think that was what really spurred me on. I was we were living in this townhome in BC at the time in Vancouver, and I had a really fascinating, terrifying at the time, but fascinating incident where I heard somebody downstairs, and I thought my parents were up. I mean, I was 9 or whatever, and I came downstairs and the light was on in the kitchen, and I thought, okay, well, somebody's up, and I could hear somebody wandering around the kitchen. And, I came downstairs and, said hello. And as soon as I said hello, the sound everything just stopped. And my gut instinct told me that's not my parents in the kitchen. There's somebody in there, but it's not my parents. And I was terrified. I thought somebody had broken into the house. And, I went to reach for the light in the living room. And tried to turn that on, and the light wouldn't go on. And I heard somebody coming out from the kitchen, and it was this sort of opaque shape, and it rushed at me. It scared me so badly, I ran back up the stairs. Apparently, I called for help. I have no memory of doing that at all. My parents came downstairs, and my dad had an old billy club that had that he'd gotten from his brother. His brother was a police officer, and he went into the kitchen. He was expecting somebody to be in the house, and there was nobody there. What was interesting was he went to turn the living room light on, and it turned on with no problem. It terrified me so badly, but at the same time, I couldn't put it down afterwards. I was fascinated. I couldn't figure out what I experienced, and that really kicked off my interest.
We've got more to come. Morgan Knudsen, and a little bit later in the show, we'll tell you about Morgan's book, fascinating book. You'll want to hear more about it. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-844-9702 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-844-9702 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-844-9702 now and start learning to trade the right way. Simply call 855-844-9702. Prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Should mention here that when Randall does that echo effect, it's not the $1.98 echo machine. He's really going into the Speed Force to do it.
Oh, well, you know, that makes sense now.
Okay. I'll go with that. Actually, I could have had a really high-tech Echo hooked up if I had wanted to, because I put together a new sound system on my other computer recently, and it had a real microphone instead of the one I'm using now, a Shure SM57, and it took me a couple of days to figure it all out. But boy, I could put all kinds of effects on here now if I really wanted to, but today I'm back on the old Blue, and that really was my $1.99 Echo.
I have a Shure SM58, which is the vocal mic. Everybody has those, I think. I've got a couple of them, but my mixer is in storage now. So I don't break it out. But I do have it.
Yeah, I really like the Shure microphones. They're a good brand. And they're reliable, too. They're pretty durable and they're reliable, so...
Well, that's something else we should get into, too, as we progress through the show, is that you are involved in some production work as well.
Yeah, so
we'll have to get into that. But just returning briefly to your experience now, I'm fascinated by pretty much all things paranormal, but mainly my interest is in ufology. But, of course, it's associated so much with the parapsychological that, well, things overlap a lot. And so you hear these stories about, like, shadow people. It almost sounds like this thing you saw was, like, what they call a shadow person.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a shadow person, because usually those are typically darker, but this one was a little bit more light and opaque looking. So it was typical for sightings of things like apparitions and whatnot. I mean, looking back, it was pretty shocking. You go downstairs and it was like 5 a.m, you know, and that happens and you're not expecting it. And yeah, at that age, of course. And at that point, too, I mean, I had no idea what I was looking at, you know.
That's really interesting, though. So it was a light-colored opaque, but you weren't able to make out any features on it? Or was it just roughly the shape of a human being? Or what?
Yeah, actually? Roughly, very roughly the shape of a person, very roughly.
Interesting.
Yeah, it would even be hard pressed to say it was shaped like a person. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't defined like that, but it was. It was interesting. I'll definitely never forget it. That's for sure.
About what year would that have been?
Oh my God!
Approximately.
Early 90s.
Oh, early 90s. So that's actually.
I would say.
Yeah, fairly recent compared to what I was thinking. You know. It might be. That is so, yeah, cool. Okay, so where were we? Then after that, you teamed up with one of your friends and created a kind of an investigative group and then started investigating other people's experiences?
Yeah, I mean, Steph and I were, we grew up together. Stephanie was amazing. She had a muscular dystrophy, and she and I connected really, really quickly. And just, we had so many shared interests and whatever, and her courage and her stamina and her mind was just so amazing to me that we connected really fast. And we spent pretty much our childhoods and into our teenage years reading and literally doing this and trying to understand the phenomena. I mean, we didn't go to the school dances. We didn't go, like, nothing like that, right? It was all, this is what Steph and I, we just lived and breathed this, you know, in the good sense, you know, we didn't get in any trouble really, but this is kind of where our life went. And, when we decided to, put Entity Seeker together, we intended it to be the idea that we were going to be investigating this phenomenon. What we found was that it was really about the inner work for us and how the inner work and the experiences were completely related. So it was a really transformative experience.
Related in what way? That's really interesting.
Oh yeah. It's incredible. And then it actually became the formula for our program, Teaching the Living, which is now in psychology programs and social work programs and whatnot here in Edmonton. And Teaching the Living is, we realized that the state of mind that people were in was directly connected to the type of phenomenon that they were experiencing. And once we realized that, we realized just how important our inner work really was. And that was ultimately the key to helping the clients and whatnot that we were dealing with. And so once we kind of saw those patterns, we couldn't unsee the patterns. And then we started studying them across the globe. And when we started to look at them globally, we began to see, no, this isn't just here. This isn't just us. There's a rhyme and a reason to this. And when we started to understand sort of where the core of this stuff starts, it really changed how we did things. And then that's when the rest of the world kind of began to catch on. And that's how Teaching and Living was born.
So the kind of connections that you're talking about then aren't so much, say, connections between the phenomena in one case and the phenomena in another case, but what the phenomena or the kind of phenomena seems to be in relation to the life situation of the experiencer. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, I think you're onto it. Like, it's almost like every situation has kind of got an emotional resonance. And what we've discovered is that the people that typically call us for bad cases, like things that would just scare the crap out of most people, the really negative stuff and whatnot, what we've discovered is the fact that it oftentimes genuinely reflects their state of being and the person's state of being. And once we started to realize that, and we started to study something called blue zones. And blue zones were designated by a fellow by the name of Dan Buettner from National Geographic. He's a freelance journalist. And they basically started to designate the happiest places in the world. And there was places like Sardinia, Italy, and Icaria, Greece, and Okinawa, Japan, and all of these different places. And when we started to look and take a deep dive into the paranormal phenomenon in some of these places, it was very, very different from even places in the West, where we had, you know, people here that were experiencing some really, really terrifying stuff and were under some extreme stressors. So we had people that, like in the West, for example, we don't get a whole lot of people being, prizing joy, where in somewhere like Icaria, Greece or Okinawa, Japan, meditation and joy and things like that is a big deal. And what we realized was the fact that the people that were experiencing the stressors and whatnot here were the ones that were running into problems with this negative activity. And you go to a place like Okinawa, Japan, and you start talking about some of the horror stuff that goes on, you know, in some of the Western places and whatever, and they don't have a clue what you're talking about. They don't experience it in the same way. So it was very interesting to us.
So let me ask you here, and we're going to split to another segment in a moment. Are we saying here that the experiences are different in different parts of the world, or the expectations and the way they are described are different in different parts of the world? I just want to clarify that, but we'll do it in our next segment because we have to take a few pieces of business here. So we have Morgan Knudsen. We have J. Randall Murphy. We sometimes have Gene Steinberg nursing his bad eye. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump has told a gathering of Jewish Republicans in Las Vegas he's a good friend of Israel's and will still be after he wins the 2020 election.
Shabbat Shalom.
He told the crowd of Jewish Republicans that, unlike his predecessors, he keeps his promises, moving the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem and more recently, recognizing Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights.
We did a great job, and we feel great about it.
He said Democrats would leave Israel out there, and he accused them of harboring anti-Semites, and not more forcefully condemning liberal critics of Israel.
Now the Democrats have even allowed the terrible scourge of anti-Semitism to take root in their party and in their country.
This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Gold is a better way. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. My name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. The book may not be for you, but the tens of thousands who've read it have been blown away to learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. We're so confident this book will change the way you think about investing, we've purchased 1,000 copies from the publisher and are giving them to serious investors. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, we'd like to send you your copy. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776. You can buy it on Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, or text bestseller and get it for free. Text bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Gold is a better way. Text bestseller to 49776.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Morgan, is my question weird or what?
It's a little bit off, I think. It's not so much the fact that they're describing it differently. It's all the same activity. It's pretty much universal. Once you get down to it, all the encounters are typically very similar. But the emotional space that these people are in that seems to attract the type of activity that they're getting. Like, for example, when you get somebody who is typically under a lot of stress or has been traumatized in some way or is frightened or upset or something like that, what happens is the activity tends to mirror that emotional space. And what we've discovered is the fact that once those people start to get out of that emotional space, the type of activity that they're receiving starts to change. And if once they're out of it in the negative sense and they start moving into that in the more positive, sort of living their best life, so to speak, then that stuff starts to shape up for them. So where you go into a lot of these ghost hunting shows and whatnot, and you watch them try to, you know, basically wave a magic wand and decide they're going to, you know, banish whatever it is. And it's really not about that. And that's why 6 months later in the update, you see the fact the activities come back. Well, it's come back because there's just nobody's done any work. We've watched it time and time again where these people start to change how they're being and how they're living. And we watch it clear up for them. It's really fascinating.
So what sort of experiences do people have in these blue zones then? Because if I'm understanding you correctly, it's not that they don't have similar phenomena that takes place there. It's just that it manifests itself differently according to the psychological well-being of the experiencer.
Spot on. And it's phenomenal stuff that they're experiencing. And people experience it here in the West too. I mean, the people that are paying attention to their emotional state, they're experiencing things like loved ones coming to visit. They're experiencing joyful encounters, fun encounters, the stuff that, you know, you kind of want to write home about. You know, all the things that make you smile and the things that people oftentimes strive for, especially after they've lost a loved one. You know, little reminders or little jokes or things like that. It's all the good stuff. And we see it just time and again.
How does that manifest itself? Like, in what way sort of, I mean, like, is grandmother suddenly sitting at the kitchen table and with a smile on her face and then everybody's okay and they just sit down and have a conversation or what exactly happens?
Well, what's interesting is that when we start to look at the combination, like for in that kind of an example of the relationship between like bereavement and the paranormal and paranormal phenomenon. So oftentimes when people are in a very, very much a state of non-resistance, this stuff starts to happen. So sometimes it's an apparition. Sometimes it's the smell of somebody's perfume that you know. There was a case actually that I talked to a woman probably about a year ago, and they were all at the funeral reception for a loved one. I think it was her mother, and they were standing around and they were having a laugh. They were joking about something her mom had done or said, and they were having a laugh about it. And lo and behold, they not only smelled her perfume, but they heard her laughing. Couldn't see her, but they heard her laughing. It's really interesting. There was an experiment done in Ontario called the Philip experiment. I wrote an article about this for Haunted Magazine a little while ago. And basically what had happened, it took place in the 70s, and one of the Toronto Parapsychological Associations there, they decided that they were going to try something interesting. They were going to recreate some of the seances back from the Victorian times, and they wanted to see if they could actually study it. But they weren't going to conjure an entity that, say, for example, existed in the past. What they wanted to do was they were going to start creating their own consciousness and see if they could turn around and make stuff happen. So they actually designed a character by the name of Philip. Philip had never existed.
Yeah, I think we've heard about this from other guests. Yeah, but sorry for interrupting you. Just continue on. Sorry about that.
Totally okay. It was a really interesting thing because they create this character, Philip. For about a year, they were trying, and they were just trying to push it and push it and push it. Nothing happened. So they're like, oh, we got to be missing something. So they go back in history, and they start looking at what these people were doing differently. And the one thing that they were doing that the Philip experiment had not been doing was laughing. They had added joy. Everybody was having fun back in that time. They were enjoying themselves. They were just having a blast with it. And here the people at the Phillips table were getting, you know, they were frustrated. You know, the sessions were really long. It was boring. So they decided to throw in joy. And what was interesting was that as soon as they did that, within about 48 hours, stuff started to happen. So they decided to recreate that experiment with another group, different people, different character. They called it Lilith, and they recreate this again, add in that joy factor, and bam, stuff starts happening again. And they documented the whole thing. It was really, really interesting. That emotional element needed to be there.
That's really interesting, actually. But then again, I think Lilith, it is a mythological character, or possibly, you know, as believed to be some sort of an actual spiritual character, right?
Yeah, in this case, they made her she was a spy. They created a backstory, and she was a spy that had been killed. She'd been in the army, and they created a whole character around her. So she wasn't related to anything that's been in history books before. It was just, this was a little bit new.
Just except for the name, I guess, which, exactly. I mean, she was like, I guess, a demon of the night who steals babies.
That's not what they were going for this, but yeah, that name's definitely got some baggage, that's for sure.
That is still really fascinating, though. So what does that suggest, then, that this is actually some sort of phenomena that's created by the, for lack of a better term, the mental energy of the participants in this experiment?
For me, I think it's twofold what was so interesting for the interesting points about this, because the first bit that fascinates me is what we just talked about, which was the fact that the joy factor really made the difference. But the second part that really fascinates me is the fact that we start to delve into something in parapsychology called the hard problem, and that is whether or not consciousness is fundamental, which means it's fundamental in the environment, and it exists without people being present, or if it's emergent, which means it's coming, consciousness is coming from the brain outwards. And what's interesting to me about this is that it starts to really begin to argue the idea that consciousness is indeed fundamental. And our scientific models are leaning more and more and more towards the idea that that's the case now, which would really explain a lot of the phenomenon that people have experienced. So I think it was a really notable case for two reasons.
Well, it's really interesting you should say that. And I mean, talk about jumping into the deep end of the pool there right off the start, because on our forum here, we have paranormal and the philosophy in the paranormal. It's a thread that goes on for numerous segments, hundreds of pages. And we get really into that question ourselves here. So you've actually hit upon a show where, yeah, we've really delved into that question quite deeply. And of course, still nobody has an answer one way or the other, and it's very contentious. I mean, we're talking about, of course, David Chalmers here, a philosopher who talks about the hard problem of consciousness and writes about it, teaches, professor. And we've got a number of others. We've got, you know, say Searle, who takes a different approach to it, and the idea of emergence and fundamentalness. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive. So, for example, we have something like, say, electromagnetism, or just magnetism. We're finding out that pretty much everything is fundamentally electrical on some level or another, but it still requires certain conditions in order for it to manifest. So, in other words, we can't simply make something that just looks like an electromagnet that will work like an electromagnet. It has to be made out of specific kinds of materials organized in a specific kind of a way in order for it to work. So although consciousness might be fundamental, that doesn't mean that it doesn't need something like a material brain for it to work, just like an electromagnet needs an appropriate amount of, like, say, an iron core, electricity, and a proper sort of a winding.
Guys, with the store break. We got more to come with Morgan, Randall, and Jean. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly, as you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product, and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're back with Morgan Knudsen. We'll talk about our book a little bit later, but right now we're focusing on the deep aspects of the paranormal. Randall.
Okay, so where we were going with that, and I'm totally with you there, so I know what you're talking about, and just tried to explain it prior to the break a little bit for our listeners as well. What are your thoughts on the whole thing where we're dealing with the idea of consciousness as being either fundamental or not?
Well, I think this is where things get really interesting for me, because the way we're beginning to understand the human brain is in this very much in the same fashion that we've learned to understand things like our eyes and our other senses. You know, we've got something like our eyes with the optical nerve, and, you know, we know how the rods and cones work and all of that kind of thing. But it's the ability to perceive light, is the ability to perceive the environment and have our brain then translate the environment that allows us to be able to actually get an image and see what we're looking at. And I think the way the hard problem is sorting itself out, because it kind of is sorting itself out on its own in a way, is that the brain is like a translator, you know, and it's how we translate our environment and whatnot seems to be very much, of course, related to the fact that, you know, our brains function in a certain way, because we know that when we look at people with, you know, brain injuries and things like that, which is another subject all into itself, but you start to wonder if what happens is that, you know, our brains are translators rather than something that's actually, you know, projecting the consciousness itself. So I don't know. It's a tough one, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it seems from our discussions that there's definitely two sides. There's the side that would look at it as like acting like simply like a receiver. So the existence of consciousness is out there like a radio wave, and it comes in, and because we have a brain, it's able to pick up those waves and turn them into an experience. There's the other side that's saying, well, it is, our brain is more like a light bulb, and the spiritual side or our consciousness is like the light itself. And of course, the light is separate from a light bulb. It extends out beyond the light bulb itself. We often have analogies to talk about our spiritual selves as the light and our material selves as the body and so on. So Yet when we turn off the light bulb, that light disappears. It's gone. And all that's left is maybe some energy that streams out into the universe before it runs into a wall or something else and is absorbed and turned into something else. But there's no continuity of existence for the light once that light bulb is turned off. And yeah, that seems to be more, the evidence seems to be mounting very substantially in terms of neuroscience, that that's how it works. Our brains are what is producing consciousness, even though consciousness is something separate from the material that makes up the brain itself.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a fellow in Toronto by the name of Dr. Morris Friedman, and he's one of the leading neuroscientists, neurosurgeons there in Toronto University. And he's been doing a number of papers and whatnot, and you can get the papers online about dementia and mental illness as coupled with paranormal phenomenon. And the findings are really fascinating, because what he's theorizing, what he's discovered, is the idea that once if there's a brain injury or there's something like a disruption somewhere, what he's finding is that it oftentimes will lead to people having these experiences, or being able to at least experience the experience. The analogy that I like to use is that when you've got a camera has various filters that stop things like different UV lights and all of these kind of things. And you have to have all these filters in your camera in order to get a proper photograph. And it's almost like the brain, if it's injured or there's, some of these different, diseases, it's almost like the filters get removed. And it's a fascinating, fascinating study. Yeah, it opens a whole Pandora's box, basically, is what it does.
Well, yeah, it's really interesting, because it leaves us with the question, before we lose our audience, on what it is we're talking about or what the point of it is. It sort of speaks to the idea of continuity of consciousness following the death of the body. And that's the big question. When we see something like an apparition, and I've had experiences myself along those lines, so I have no doubt that the phenomena itself is real. Absolutely. The question is, are we really looking at something that is a continuity of consciousness or continuity of personhood after the death of the body? Or are we looking at something else? And we're just making the assumption because of other connections that we've made between the experience and our own lives.
Yeah. And what's interesting about that too, is that I think when you start to get into some of the folklore end of it or the belief end of it, it's interesting how people will translate some of these events that go on. And I work with a lot of different cultures and things like that, as you know, when I'm teaching, especially when I'm teaching. And the one program that I was working quite regularly with here was an Aboriginal social work program, and they got not only Aboriginal people coming in to take the course, but people just all over the place. There was, people from Haiti, and so you got all these different cultures that were kind of mixed in together, and it was really interesting. But they all had a take on it, and the phenomenon that they were describing, of course, was all the same stuff, but they all had a very different spin on it. And some of the spin was very negative, and then you had some that was very positive. And so it all kind of swarmed together. And so it was an interesting class to teach, because we kind of had to break some of that stuff down and go, okay, well, like, let's take a look at the phenomenon rather than the story that's being told about the phenomenon. So there was a difference there, and that helped them.
Now, in terms of people from different places perceiving it differently or having different answers to what's going on, how then do you know what's going on if you've got so many versions?
Well, it's not so much that you have so many versions, but you'll say, for example, you'll get somebody we'll just give an example. Someone's seen an apparition walking through their house right after somebody passed away. You'll get one person that will see that and say, oh my God, that's a terribly bad omen. We don't want that. We want to get this, that's an omen of death or something like that. And then you might get another person that will see it and see it as like the most incredible blessing of hope. I saw a loved one, or I saw somebody, who I think has passed on. And, that gives me a lot of hope. And thankfully, the majority of people, when you get into, especially the study of this this phenomenon and bereavement, the majority of people see this as something that's extremely hopeful, thankfully. But, you know, you get some cultures that say, no, that's a curse. But they're describing the same thing. So I think you kind of have to cut down to the core of what is it that actually happened and sort of strip it down from the stories and the belief systems and start looking at just the core of the evidence of what occurred.
But then, of course, is the devil's advocate question, which is, maybe it's your grandmother. Okay?
Sure.
How do we know it's your grandmother? It may look like your grandmother. You may perceive it as your grandmother. But how do you know that's what's really being seen and that your grandmother is somehow trying to communicate with you?
Well, and that becomes the big question. You know, like in a case like that, your facts are something was seen. What it is, I mean, we don't have a way to measure spirits. You know, we don't have a way to measure entities at this point. I mean, you get on the TV shows and you see all sorts of weird things like ghost boxes and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, there's nothing. I mean, we don't know what an entity is made of. And until we know that, we can't calibrate a meter to measure one. So, you know, we can only report these experiences, you know, document what we can and take it from there.
We're going to split for another piece of business in a moment. I want to remind our listeners about the Paracast Plus. It's a way for you to support the show. You get a version of the show free of the network ads. In answer to those on YouTube who complain, you also get the After the Paracast podcast. And last week, for example, we featured an extension of our interview with Richard Hoffman. So you got 50 minutes more, well, 32 minutes more of him. And we do that quite often these days, where we ask the guests to rejoin us. We do another interview with them, only available if you're a subscriber to the Paracast Plus. So once again, it's plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Prices begin at just $1.49 a week, $4.99 a month. We also have 5-year and lifetime subscriptions. So if you worry about the lifetime, we're in our 14th year, so it's going to be a pretty long lifetime, and we give you free stuff for long-term subscriptions. Plus.theparacast.com. More to come with Gene, Randall, and Morgan. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny because they haven't chosen to take the first step towards the life they've always dreamed of. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Start small or dream big. Work part-time or full-time. You choose the pace. Just visit startlivingyoung.com. That's startlivingyoung.com. And click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health products company that spent 5 years on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in America list. With over $1 billion a year in sales, they'll provide all the tools you need to thrive and succeed. And you'll be blown away by how little it takes to get started. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab at the top of the page. 2019 will be the year your new life begins. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.